Bibles to Philippians chapter 3. Good morning, Bonnie. See you sitting in the middle. Good to see you. Don't mean to point you out, but I did. And your daughter, no, friend? Okay, well, sorry. I better stop there where I was ahead. Yeah. But good morning. Hey, Philippians chapter 3, verse 12, that's where we left off last week. I do want to mention, if you could pray for the roof. You know, we got some buckets out there catching water, and I just want you to know it's important to me, it's important to the leadership of this church that we have a good roof. We are working hard on it, and I've been praying every day for 4 years that it would get all set, and we've done different things, put out downspouts, and as I even shared last service, we're moving forward, but then there was that recent storm with the high winds, and it actually blew slate off the tower there above the stairs, made 14 holes in our roof. And but I, if you could pray for it, I pray every day, and it's quite a thing of endurance for me that God would get our roof in good working order. And I then heard that, you know, thank God somebody was on the roof working, and they discovered all these broken slates, so it's not leaking in the sanctuary today. I just want to say this, and it's important to me that you come here, and you're not worried about water dripping on you, and you're not embarrassed with your friends. We are working, and if you could pray that we could just finish it. We have some good people working on it. So potluck after this service. I hope you hang out in fellowship with us. Churches unite also. Night of prayer tonight. So the prayer at 6 we have a weekly is not here tonight. We'll be at we'll be at Pilgrim Covenant in Lunenburg because we pray with area churches once a month. And Good Friday, we'll be at the Elm Street Congregational Church in Fitchburg. We're doing that also with Churches Unite. And so the Israel trip, you have information in your bulletin, April 2nd, so it's soon. And you can talk to John Alex. I don't see him at this service, but a group going to do some mission work. It costs about $2,000 if you want to go to Israel and do some construction, helping some people. So anyway, this text, verse 12, a lot of you are familiar with it, and it's a wonderful passage. I think of my history when I was a kid with just running track. You know, when I was real young, I lived in Germany, and I had an older friend, and he taught me how to run. We'd go running through the city of Wiesbaden, Frankfurt. We'd run out to the villages. My mom actually let me do it. I was 9 or 10 years old, and I learned to run long distance as a young kid and because of a friend. And then we moved after that to Idaho, and when I was in Idaho for junior high, they actually had a track teams, and we competed in a state meet and everything in junior high. So I just had all this track, and it was kind of my thing. I get to New Hampshire, my dad retires, 8th grade, and the Dover High actually let me run on the varsity team as an 8th grader. I was just really into it, and even went to states in 8th grade. So I get to Wells, Maine. We moved there during my freshman year of high school, and I've just got this goal, and I want to do well in track. So, you know, when you have a goal, many of you do, you could relate, I would work hard at it. You know, I would practice during the season, and then I would run on my own, and I was a sprinter, but I'd run long distance in training. There, near my parents, Wells, Maine, there's this wire road on 109 that from my parents' house, it was 3 miles to a stop sign, 3 miles back. So that was what I would do. I'd go down and run down the road and go around the stop sign and come back. But you know, as a young person, there are times, right? You know how this works, that I would get ready or I'd be thinking about, I need to run today. And you know, 1,000 things seem more appealing than going to run. You know what I'm saying? Even washing dishes for my mom is like, oh, that's a great idea. You know what I'm saying? Because I just don't want to go out and run on a hot summer day, you know? And then you get out there, you got those Maine, you know, horse flies. They're definitely demons, you know what I'm saying? And it's a sweaty day, you're running, and I'm like beating my head, beating myself, trying to get these things off me, and I'm trying to run 6 miles sort of thing. So then, you know, if I get going, I'm doing it, I've got a goal. And then as I'm going along, sometimes you're just the way you feel. I'm like, I want to just turn around. I'm going to keep it a shorter run, a mile and a half or whatever, and I'll go back. But the thing is, I had these goals, and I knew what I wanted to do. I wanted to do well in the meets. I wanted to do the best I could. So I would keep pushing myself. I just keep pressing in. I'm going to do this. I have this goal. I even ran winter track in Maine, which is interesting to do in Maine. Our school, Wells High, we met for practice at 6 in the morning. And we would, if it was snowing or raining, we'd run in the building. We'd run in the gym. We'd run up and down stairs, run in hallways. And if it wasn't, then at 6 o'clock, dark winter morning, it was wicked cold. We would go out and we would run on the, you know, icy streets. And when I say wicked cold, that's a bad thing. For some of you in New England, you might think that's a good thing, you know. But wicked cold is bad in the way I mean it. But I would just focus, and I had my goals. Well, one year, senior year, I had an opportunity, a church in Kennebunk, Maine, their youth group was going to Belize, and I had an opportunity to go with them. So I decided, you know, we're going to go on this mission. I'm going to go with them. And we worked in the jungle of Belize and even built this discipleship school. And it was, I don't know, three and a half weeks or something. So I do that, a great experience. But when I come back, you know, I haven't been training at all. It's already the track season. I had this other focus. And when I came back, you know, of my 4 years, it was my senior year, of my 4 years running in high school, it was my worst year. Even worse than my freshman, because I hadn't trained. I wasn't focused for that time. I had this other focus. Now, I don't regret going on that missions trip, obviously. It's more important to me today than running a senior year in track. But I use the picture because that's the sort of picture Paul is giving us today, that we have a greater goal as born-again believers here today, and we have to keep our eye on the goal, and it is really worth it. There is a lot at stake. And if we don't, we can experience unnecessary things, unnecessary struggles. Maybe we have some today, and it's because we've lost the vision of what we're all about. We're also going to soon stand before the Lord, and Paul is going to remind us there's just a lot at stake here, and so the need to keep going. And maybe you're here today and you're weary. Maybe you're here today and you're discouraged. Maybe you've been distracted. God wants to remind us, and I hope our eyes are open to just appreciate what he has for us. Well, let's begin in chapter 3, and I don't think we prayed yet, did we? Second service, I'm sorry, I get confused between the two services. Let's pray, because we want to pray. Father, I thank you for your scripture. I thank you that you know every person here, you know where we're at, and I just thank you. I thank you that your word is alive and the Holy Spirit is here with us, in us. And would you awaken us, speak to us, encourage us, refresh us, lead us, help us to hear. May we go out all the more with our hearts filled with you. I pray, God, if there's anybody here that has not met you, I pray they would meet you today in a very personal way and put their trust in Christ. So Holy Spirit, please work and be upon all of us, myself, as we go through these verses in Jesus' name. Amen. I remind you, too, you can put your cell phone on silent. And best we can, we are human. Sometimes we got to get up. Best we can, we can remain in our seats, too. Best we can. Chapter 3 of Philippians, verse 12. Not that I've already attained or already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us be of the same mind. So you can guess my title, press on. Paul uses that verb, that sort of word, twice. The first thing we get from verse 12, my first point is this: not there yet. You and I are not there yet. Paul, in fact, says he's not there yet, right? Beginning of verse 12, he says, not that I've already attained. He talked about in the previous verses what his goal was. He had met Jesus, blew him away. Jesus just interrupted his life, appeared to him. It was so amazing to see the risen Christ, the exalted Christ. From that point on, Jesus was everything. And so that's just his goal. He describes it to us in those previous verses. He goes, I want to be found in him. I want to know him. And then he went on and talked about, this man is sitting in prison. He's awaiting potentially execution. He's filled with joy. And he's like, I want to know him. I want to know his resurrection. I want to know his sufferings. I want to know his death. I want to know him. There's nothing like knowing him. And we talked about what that meant last week. But now at verse 12, he's got this goal, but then he says, not that I've already attained. And he's saying, I'm not there yet. And we could use that in two different ways. Spiritually, very much is what he's speaking of. I'm not there yet. But then also physically, obviously, he's not in heaven yet either. And for you and I this morning, it's true. We're not there yet. We're certainly not in heaven. We're here in this building right now. But when it comes to the Christian walk and achieving all that we can and experiencing all we can in Jesus, we're just not there yet. Nobody is there yet. Paul's not there yet. You and I are not there yet. We have more to go, and that's the point. Maybe you came through the door and you're just discouraged because you look over your shoulder this week and you're like, man, I can't believe I did that again. And the enemy's beating you up. Maybe you're like, man, will I ever get this right? You know, and you're just wrestling through that sort of thing. Not there yet. So be encouraged. We're not there yet. The scripture says you and I are not there yet. Nobody is. If you think you're there, we're going to pray for you because you're probably the first of them there. You know what I mean? If you actually think you've attained what you can in Christ, oh, may God open your eyes today that you'd see there's so much more. So he writes about himself. This is the Apostle Paul. And so you and I, we're not there yet. None of us. And Paul isn't. And so, as he says, we haven't arrived. We have further to go. There is more need for progress in our faith. You and I are lacking the Christian maturity and the way that we can have it. We're lacking in the Christian growth that we can have it. And sometimes maybe we're more aware of that than others, but that's the truth. And I think you and I can just rest in what we're reading in that first verse. We're just not there yet. So don't beat yourself up is the point. And we have more to say on that in a moment. Now, if you were to write a list today as a Christian and you love God and you just have met him, but yet you know, oh, I'm not there. What would you write in your list? You'd go, oh, man, can't believe it. He's going to mention reading the Bible again. I know he is. You know what I mean? And I'm not there yet. I know I need to pray. I know you mentioned the prayer reading again. I confess I'm not there yet. And whatever it might be, the fear that was so strong in your life this week, the struggle with something that I wish that wasn't part of my life. In fact, I thought it wasn't, and it was this week. We're just not there yet. Maybe sharing Christ, and you're like, I just don't do it. Or victory over sin. Maybe it's frustration that reappeared. Maybe it's anger. Maybe it's these things, and you're like, come on, man. Come on. Well, I encourage you, we are not there yet. We are not there. And that's what Paul reminds us. Paul says, I have not completely progressed in this faith to be like Jesus. There's more to go. It's still ahead of me. I don't pay attention anymore to what is behind me. And as he says in verse 12, I'm not already perfected. Speaking of that holiness, the being in the image of God. And what would that mean to Paul if we were with him? What would he write on his list? It might be striking what he'd say. I'm not there yet, you know. I met him. I love him. Oh, man, he's everything. But there's more to go in my life. But I'm not satisfied. That's what he's saying, too. Not satisfied where I'm at. There's more. There's more. My wife and I were speaking to one of our kids this week. We've got, you know, young adult kids, and they're just awesome. But, you know, it's just a common thing. And this one child was struggling because this child has high goals, works really, really hard, and struggles when things don't go well. Struggles when they feel like maybe I can't do this the way I thought I could do it or at the level I wished I'd do it and the standard that I have, and was very discouraged. And so my wife and I were, you know, ministering to this child, and yet at the same time, I wasn't too worried about it. My wife wasn't too worried about it because I know, you know, that's how you feel today. I know you feel that way very much. It's really kind of overwhelming because of the way it's all looking. You're discouraged with yourself, but I know she's going to grow, and it's just a matter of time. And it's the Christian faith is just like that. We can get overwhelmed. We can think, I'm such a failure. And the enemy shows up pretty quick if you start going down that road. I'm such a goofball. You know, I'm just, you just do that. And we're not there yet. We haven't attained. There's more ahead of us. And so you're revealing you're not satisfied, and that's good. That's good, because Paul is speaking of a heart of that's motivated to go forward. So you and I, it's been true throughout church history. You know, you just look at the lives of Christians, and there's this journey. And it's not all straight. It's not all flat. There are different things that each Christian experiences. So we're not there yet. Then Paul is reminding us, he's pressing on. He says, I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus laid a hold of me. And in saying that, and this is what he said before, he's not there yet, but he's saying there's so much more. He's not saying that, you know, I'm getting close. He's saying there's so much more. And it's in the very nature of who Christ is. And that there's no place to get bored. We say that around here a lot. There's the Christian life. The truth is, Christ has great things for us. And Paul is saying, I've met him, this beauty, his power. I've tasted his wonder. This is it. I want more of that love. I want more of that grace. I want more of that peace. I want more of that victory. I want more of that boldness. It's striking to know him. He's so changed my life. I haven't attained, but I'm pressing forward. I guess, how about you today? How about you? I pray when we leave this building, if for some reason you got a little beaten up, a little distracted, you'd go, we're going to be reminded there's a fresh start today. You know, we're just not there. Christ has much for us. The country of Spain in the 15th century, they were like America. They were over everything. They were like the great empire, great, you know, country in the world, and their extent and reach and so forth. And so they actually, in their confidence and pride, on their coins, their national coin, they had inscribed these words, ne plus ultra, ne plus ultra. And what it means, if I pronounced it correctly, is nothing further. We did it. We've accomplished it. Well, then, you know, the discovery of the new world, they realized, wait a minute, there's a lot more to this. They actually changed the inscription on their national coin to the words plus ultra, which means more beyond. More beyond. And that's what Paul is saying. I mean, look how God has used his life. He's like, there's just so much more beyond. So much more. That's the crazy cool thing about being Christians. There's just so much to this journey. There's so much to every day. You know, there's just so much. No place to be bored. So, not even close. It is a great adventure. It certainly includes great battles. But if we keep the right perspective, we're not going to be disappointed. There's every day with the Lord, just so much more. So, like Wire Road, you know, I'd go running. And sometimes it'd feel like that stop sign is a ways out there, you know. But we press forward. We have a goal. We keep going. Despite horseflies or distractions, we keep going. We have this goal. The goal is a good one, and it's worth it. We won't regret it. My wife gave me this scripture this week because it's true at times, no doubt, with radio and just life, right? My wife is there to encourage me. And so this week she gave me this scripture, and I've had it given to me so many times. I love it. It's beautiful. You know it. Hebrews 10, verse 35 to 38. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that after you've done the will of God, you may therefore, my notes are messed up. I should have fixed them for last week. If you've done the will of God, you may receive the promise. My notes are messed up. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. So he says, we have need of endurance. Don't lose your confidence. Keep pressing forward. There's great reward. The Lord's coming back soon, and you're going to be rewarded. I can just get discouraged in our radio battles. And I thought, you know, the truth is, after we built the Boston radio station, I thought we were done. I was in San Diego, 1992, have a daydream while I'm seeking the Lord one day, listening to Rich Mullins, step by step, spending the day with the Lord, and I have that on. And in that moment, I have a daydream, and I'm visioning in my daydream Warren Towers, Boston University, where I went to school. And I'm preaching the gospel to the students in the dorm. And God used that to call me. It was just a daydream, but God used it to call me. It changed my life from that point on. Eventually, we moved to New England. We leave our jobs. Crazy, as we're moving out here, our radio station is donated to the church we're affiliated with, so we have an AM. God is confirming this thing he's put into my heart. We go for years with radio, and anybody in this church knows it. That's 1992, I have that daydream. God works through various things. We start building stations. In 2016, we had a station given to us, a license in Gloucester. We discover we can move it into downtown Boston. It takes years to actually do. 2016, up on the roof, we put the station on. And I can see that dorm down there at Boston University when I'm on the roof, First Christian FM in Boston. And my wife and I thought we were done. That's the point. We thought we were done. This is 1992 to 2016. We're done. We weren't. So we're building them right now. And God has more to do. And there's just more beyond. And I've learned that since I've been there. There's just more beyond. There's just more. There's more. God use us, right? God lead us. There's more just in him. We have taught through this entire Bible. I remember one time we went through the Bible. We were going to do it, I think, in 5 years, verse by verse, the whole Bible, between every service, every way. We ended up taking 7.5 because that's a lot to do. You came here, if there was a visiting pastor, they would be teaching on the next verses. We every week we had to cover verses. We had devotionals in our bulletin. We were going through the whole Bible. 7.5 years. It's the Sunday morning, Revelation chapter 22. At the end, I finish it up, and we're done. And, you know, I reminded the congregation, we're not dead. So we just started over again. You know what I'm saying? Because we just scratched the surface. And I've taught through the New Testament multiple times. There's just so much more. I've read through the Bible. I keep reading through it. There's just so much more. Discoveries this week. I never saw that truth. I'm on my computer adding notes to other things because I never saw that before in my Bible. There's so much more to the Lord, to his word. So all this to say, we press forward, we press on. There's no stopping. There's no quitting. We can't let fear cause us to stop. We can't let distraction keep us off the path. It is true. Since I have had my kidney transplant, and by the way, thank you for those writing a cards to my sister. I did not think of that or ask that. That's something people have wanted to do. And I know it will bless my sister. I just thank you for those that are going to do that. And I think of just fear. And I'm on these new medicines. And this morning when I got to church, I was shaking like a leaf because of my medicine. And also the stress. I was shaking. I was like, people are going to see it. And fortunately, it calmed down. But my medicines caused me a time to have tremors and to be nervous. And so I have found if I start getting afraid or stressed, it just peaks. I've never had in this last couple of months the amount of like stress where my stomach is in a knot. I can't go there. You know what I mean? Because the medicines are helping, like it's this weird thing. And so then the fear and that feeling, and I think it's caused me to, you know, have more empathy for people that really find debilitating fear. I've had my wife to pray for me. And some of it's related to radio, and you know, we got timelines. We got to get a station back on by the 30th of April, and there's just so many things. We need the miracles of heaven. So this fear, and so my wife is there to encourage me, but fear is no reason for me to quit. It's no reason for you to quit. No reason for us to stop. Distraction, get back in the lane. Get your eyes back on what's important. No stopping, no quitting. We got to press forward. We can't let weariness, it's very human. You maybe been a Christian a long time. You've been serving downstairs for years. You do all these things. Some of you do so many things. And it's remarkable what goes on here and beyond here. But weariness, now we might have to make adjustments, ask the Lord to renew us, but there's just no stopping and quitting in your journey. I mean, maybe there's adjustments, and we can't let discouragement. Maybe you're weary today. Maybe you are, and that is just something that can happen. And you're thinking, I'm weary. It's just time. I'm going to retire. I think I'm going to just go fishing. And you can't do that. You can go fishing if you want. You can do that. But listen to Paul. There's a goal. We're not there yet. We're just not. And that is every one of us in this room. This is a wonderful thing. You know, talking about suffering, sometimes you suffer, you have pain, you have hurt. And because of that, and that's a human thing, and you have to go through seasons or whatever, but you can think that, well, no, I got this thing now, and this is what it is. You know what I mean? It's not true. It's not true. Yeah, life has big debilitating things, and suffering can affect us. But Paul is still speaking to us. There's more. There's more. Press on. I think of the song for King and Country, the song Fight On Fighter. I think you could put this right next to these verses. You ever hear that one? The lyrics, here's some of the lyrics. Fight On Fighter. I was there on the day that you were changed. You were scared and prepared for the heartbreak. Everything you knew faded out of you, stole a piece of you. If I could, I would buy a hero. I would be the hero, excuse me. Be the one who would take all the arrows, save you from the pain, carry all the weight. But I know that you're brave. Fight on, fighter. Don't let anyone steal your fire. Fight on, fighter. The spirit is alive inside. Yeah. Fight on, fighter. So I know you were hurt. I was there when you hurt. And the lyrics is like, and I wish I could just change it for you. Fight on, fighter. You know, interesting thing. For King Country, my son was in a season of his life with disease and very sick, and many of you that were back then know. And it was just debilitating, and it turned out, I was in a meeting downstairs, and our staff was meeting, and somebody had watched for King and Country at something, I don't know what it was. It was on something a lot of people knew about, and they said, hey, did you watch that? I said, no, I didn't watch it. I think it was a Harvest Crusade with Greg Laurie. And this person said, you know, for King and Country, one of the guys, he has the same disease as your son. I was like, really? I didn't know that. She goes, yeah, he was talking about it, and it was on the thing, he has the same disease. So I was like, oh, wow. I was so burdened for my son at the time. Well, a couple weeks later, just the way God works, one of my daughters is down at Liberty University, and for King of Country, they were playing at Liberty University. So my daughter goes up and ends up striking up a conversation with Luke Smallbone, who has this disease, and they talk. And shortly after, our home phone rang. And I think actually, now that I think it was my daughter first. She's like, hey, I got somebody to talk to Noah. And Noah got the phone. It was Luke Smallbone. He on there on the phone and wanted to minister to my son. And I remember that. Now, my son was sick, and I want to respect him and not talk about him, but I tell you what, he is a fighter, man. And he didn't give up. And it was rough. And I visit his house now, his wife, got a daughter, we think she's a goofball, got another baby on the way. Fight on, fighter. You know what I'm saying? There's so much more. Keep going. It's what Paul is saying. And I look at my boy, and I'm just proud of him, man. Going, pressing. And man, has God used him. He's got quite a little career going. So press forward. Reaching forward, he says, to possess what Jesus has for us. And notice he says it this way, but one thing I do. Verse 13, one thing I do. And that is a key to this whole thing. If you got like 47 things I'm doing along with Jesus, you're not going to go too far. But if in all that you do, whether you have multiple jobs, business, and lots of kids and lots of things, that's all fine. But the atmosphere, the focus, the road you're on needs to be one thing I do. And all of this I'm part of, but I'm heading this way and I'm heading for Christ. That is the one thing I do. And you can do a lot of things with him and to his glory and use all your skills that you want and all that. God does that. But when it comes to the beat of your heart, there's this one thing that this is my goal in my life. I'm going forward. And even in human life, if you just watch people that succeed in things, I mean, that's the secret, right? I'm focused on that, especially. That's what I'm beating for, you know, that. And that's what, now Paul before, he was very different. His eyes were upon the exalted Christ. It blinded him for 3 days, changed everything. It's one thing I now do. Now, Paul, what that meant then, as he explains, he says, you know, I'm already perfected. And so as he goes on, he's speaking of the person, the nature of Christ, that he wants to be more like him. He wants more of Jesus in him. He wants that holy life because he sees how beautiful it is and powerful. He wants to do his will. And so he seeks to lay hold of that. And interesting, when he uses the word lay hold, he writes that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. The word has a sense of surprise in the original Greek, seizing something by surprise. It's fascinating he uses that because that's what Jesus did to him. He was just going along, and out of the blue, Jesus showed up, took a hold of his life. It's exactly what happened. Spun everything around in the most glorious way. He says, he's done that to me. He rescued me out of my pride, my blindness, my darkness, my hatred. He's now the one thing I grasp onto and I hold on to. How about you today? How about you? When he says, you know, that I may lay hold of, the way he just describes it, forgetting those things, reaching forward, some of the words that he uses has that sense of straining, reaching forward like the track runner. I have one of those black and white photos because that's the time I was in high school. Our high school photographer, you know, the newspaper, take pictures at some of our meets. And I have them, and sometimes they blow them up to be pretty big for us. And I have one. My parents had it, and I came across it not too long ago, but I'm doing that. I'm on a track. I'm in a race, a meet, and my arms are back. My chest is pushed forward as far as I can. And I'm just catching that tape. Everything is the goal to hit that tape. And to hit it before anyone else does, right? That's how track. And that's the idea. He's like, this is the goal. The goal is Jesus. I grab hold. I lay hold of him. And straining. Now, there's no shortcuts. That's what we're hearing. You're not going to become a strong witnessing Christian and love God-loving person by watching TV. You're just not. You don't become more holy, experience victory. Your mind doesn't change. Those thoughts don't go away. Those attitudes, all that doesn't disappear if you're sitting with your TV or if you're sitting with just anything more than Christ. You have to be alone with your Savior and behold him. And as you do, you become more like him. And that's how this works. And that is a discipline. We use that book, Intimacy with the Almighty. There's been different books written like that. But Chuck Swindoll, writing that little book, we use it in discipleship. But he was looking at the church years ago, and he's like, wow, the church, man. We're so busy, but we're missing something really key. We're not like the Christians before us, where they had that grace and power. And he says, he wrote a little book on intimacy Almighty. We need to know our Almighty God. We need to be intimate with him. And he says, there's four decisions we need to make. And then there's a corresponding discipline with every one of those decisions. And it's a life of discipline. I got to be alone. I got to be in the quiet. I have to cultivate serenity. And I have to sit with him. I have to surrender my heart. He goes through the whole thing, but as you do, you meet with him and you just get to know him. And there's nothing like it. And it changes your life. Well, he says further, and by the way, holiness and happiness go together. If you don't know that peace and joy and happiness, it's part of a holy life. Because that's the goal, is the wonder of this beautiful God and lived in our life. So he says, then forgetting what is behind, and that's also key. You can't run well. You're not going to succeed if you're looking backwards. You can't run well either if you're in a meet, and if you're looking, even if you take a quick peek at somebody else in another lane, that can cost you the race. I didn't come with any illustrations, but there are many people, even in the Olympics, I remember one particular skiing event, but if you look back, or if you just think you can catch a look inside, sometimes that very act is what costs you to not have victory. So you stay in your lane, and you look and you run, and whatever God's doing with others, he's doing with us, but you forgetting what is behind and looking forward. Now, to forget is important because if you keep going back there and you keep rethinking that and rehashing that, and if you keep reliving that, and you're just not doing very well going forward. And Paul, it was his old life that he counted that loss, so he's forgetting that. That's not important, all those things. And yeah, there was cost, but it really was nothing. But for some of us, there are just things. We have to make a decision even today, go, I'm not looking back anymore. I'm looking forward. I'm not going to dig that up anymore. I'm not going to relive that anymore. I'm just not. My eyes are going to be on you. I'm going forward. And you can be dragging things along, and you just don't run well. You got this thing, and it gives you so much guilt. Or you got this thing, and it stirs up your anger. It makes you bitter. You got this thing, And we're told, forget what is behind. And honestly, there are decisions in life where we do that. Sometimes I got to go and I got to have a conversation. Sometimes there has to be forgiveness, repentance. Sometimes I just have to go, God, I asked you again to forgive me, and I'm going to just accept that I am. I'm going to stop thinking about that. It's in the past. I go forward. I go forward, and it's important. Now, it's true. Your brain, you can't actually forget everything, can you? And there is stuff written onto your brain. It is true, you get older, you forget things. My wife and I are realizing that more and more. She'll say, hey, remember when we were, and I'm like, what? And then I thought, I'm going senile, you know? But then I do it with her. I'm like, you remember when we were there with these people? She's like, I don't remember that at all. I'm like, huh, you got the same thing I got. Maybe it's our water. I don't know. But there are things, you know what I'm saying? You can't forget them. They are in, they're there. They've been stored. They're there. But you can let them go and not let them affect you. That's the point. When the Bible says about forget, it's not talking about you're not going to remember. Or when it says don't remember, it's not like you're physically, you're not going to remember. It's saying that this is not going to be something that is going to affect me anymore. I am going forward. And honestly, I've quoted it so many times. I did first service. It is true. They did a study of secular people, of the people that went through the Holocaust, two groups. After the Holocaust, the survivors, one group, they're still in the Holocaust, though they survived. There's another group, and they've gone on and become successful. I heard it on our own radio station, and then they say, well, what was the difference? I'm waiting to listen. And you know what they said? This secular study, what was the difference between the two groups? They said this, it was a decision. It was a decision. And the decision was, I'm not living there anymore. I'm going forward. And you can do that today. You can say, forget it. I don't completely forget, but I forget. It's no longer. God is with you. I give it to you. Take it. I'm going forward. So we have every motivation, every reason to do this. We have the means to do it. We have Christ and the Holy Spirit in us to go forward. He's even the energy in us. So he says, you know, we need to forget what's behind, and then we need to keep our eyes on the prize. That's what he says, right? He says, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Keep your eyes on the prize. Now, farmers would understand the principle in a certain way. When they, you know, if they're using a plow to, you know, turn over the dirt, plow those different rows for whatever they're going to do, what they do is what you would probably do is they look for something off on the horizon, you know what I mean? They look at a tree, a fence post. That is where they're going as they're running that machine or the horse they're going. That's where they're going. And they go for that post. They go for that tree. And they plow a straight line. If they get their eye off of that, you'll be able to tell the farmer's field, won't you? It'll be like this, it'll be like this, it'll be like this. You go straight when you keep your eye on the goal. So you get up with the Lord. You end the day with the Lord. You keep your eye on him. He's the goal. And it'll help you go straight. The upward call of God, that's all that we have. Paul's speaking of the personal experience of Christ and him being lived in me more, in me, through me. The love of God in my life. The Spirit of God through my life. He's also then speaking of, you know, what God has given him and trusted him to do. He's been called to bring the gospel to the Gentiles. He also knows heaven's waiting and I'm going to be rewarded. And when I get there, I am pressed on towards the goal because I want to stand there and hear, you know, well done. I want to know I did what I was called to do. I have to be repeatedly reminded of this. Repeatedly. Different thing, especially radio. Radio can just trip me up because it can cost a lot and have all kinds of battle and all kinds of issues. And so, and God is there. He repeatedly, I'll go, oh, come on. We got enough, Lord. We're good, man. And yet there's this thing that we're working on. I'm like, maybe we don't have to do it. Maybe we could sell it. And God's like, there is a reward. He does that repeatedly. There is a reward. You do not want to lose your reward. I've had that conversation so many times with the Lord where he's come back and said, there is a reward. You don't want to lose the reward. And that's right there enough motivation to go, okay, I leave that to you with what it all means. And I know you want to use it. You're writing a story to your glory. So help me to do it, Lord. Eye on the prize, the upward call of God. Do you know what you're called to do? Do you know what God has made you for? Do you have a sense in a general way that I think God has made me for this? And are you being faithful, pursuing that, growing in that, being who God made you uniquely to be? That's part of eye on the prize, serving the Lord. And then lastly here at the end, he says, if many of us are mature, we're going to agree on this, right? Let's agree. But even if you don't, I mean, we're going to pray for you. God will reveal it to you. But then he says in verse 16, to the degree that we've already attained. You know what that means for you and I today? The way I see it is every day is a fresh start to the degree that I've attained. I've got to a certain point. Here's where I am, I'm at. And I'm progressing, and maybe some of my week went left, some of it went right. Some things, I listened to the enemy, start beating me up. But I've progressed to a certain point. And to today, tomorrow morning, is a fresh start. This is where I am. I'm going to go to the next step. I'm going to go to the next step. That's the way this works. Peter even says that in the first chapter of his first epistle, that, you know, add to your faith this, add to that this. You know, he has a list. Keep adding. When I was having that daydream years ago, 1992, and I was singing Warren Towers at Boston University, and God is calling me to Christian radio, which I knew nothing about, in Boston, living in San Diego. The song I was listening to was Rich Mullins, Step by Step. That's what I was listening to at that moment. I was spending the whole day with the Lord, but I happened to be listening to his cassette at the moment. And just, you know, meditating on God, worshiping the Lord, whatever. But when I was so profoundly affected by this daydream, when we came out here and eventually God got radio going, it was amazing. Then I had a radio program. I used that for years. If you've been around long enough, it was my radio song, you know, and the program was called Step by Step. And when I came out, I felt so ill-equipped. I knew so little. I'm just a goofball. How can I do this? And then step by step, I'll just go to here. And then then we'll go to the next. And then we get there, then we'll go to the next. I'll do that in my journey. I'd only read through the Bible once then. And I wasn't long later, I'm pastoring a little church. I need to learn a lot. I know this right now. I'm going to go to there. I've read the Bible so many times since then and studied so many scriptures and have so many notes on my computer. We haven't already attained, but to the degree that we have, we haven't fully attained. That tells me tomorrow's another fresh start. And maybe that's just for you. That's what he's being told. Hey, stop listening to the enemy. Discourage me, whatever. Just next step. New start. Fresh start. Just do the next thing. That's the principle here. And keep going forward. Let's stand together, shall we? So Paul uses those words twice, or press on, press forward. Fight on, fighter. We've thought about that today, press on. We're not there yet. Everybody in this room, none of us are there yet. We have more to do. Press on. More to know. More to grow in. More to mature in. Press on. Press on. We have not arrived. We're still here on the earth. There's more. There's, in fact, so much more. That's what he's saying. Christ has great things for us. Great things in just who he is and what he wants to then do in us and through us. There's so much more. And so more to do. There's more life. There's more opportunity. Forget the past. Who cares? Let that season leave. Ignore it. No more. It doesn't have you anymore. You have today. You're where you are today. Step forward. Keep your eye on the goal. No quitting. No stopping. Let's not get distracted. Don't let fear hold you down. Weariness. No, keep going. Yeah, let him renew you. Spend time with him. Discouragement. No, get up, get going. Reach forward, strain forward to what Jesus Christ has for you. His heart, his love, his peace, his nature, his power, his victory, his mind. and all that he wants to do through your life. Let the stuff in the past, forget it. You've got to tell somebody that you forgive them or do it, but let the chain go. You can make a decision today. If the Holocaust survivors could, you can do it. You can go today. I am going to forget what is behind me. I'm not pulling this stuff anymore. No way. I'm not going to listen to the enemy. I'm going to listen to you, God, and I'm looking to you. It's behind, and that's where it's staying. You can't go forward if you keep looking back. You can't run well. Forget it. Eyes on the prize. Eyes on Jesus. Eyes on heaven. Eyes on that moment when he says, well done. Keep your eyes on him. And hey, today, just take the next step. It's a fresh start, man. It's a new morning. His mercies are new every morning. The sun goes down, the sun goes up. God made it that way. It's all yesterday now. It's a new day. Fresh start. Take the next step. Just do it. Go forward. That's how we do this. That's how you run a race. That's what you do. Let's stand for a moment, shall we? And maybe there's something you want to say to God in the quiet. And why don't you speak to him for a moment? And let's just stand for a moment. Lord, thank you for touching our hearts. Thank you for revealing yourself to us. And all that are born again here or online or on the radio, thank you. Thank you. It's life-changing. When we met you, life took on a whole nother direction and meaning. You pull us out of the darkness. You pull us out of the lies. You pull us out of the toilet, really. And we became your children. Kingdom of the light. Going to heaven. Thank you. We're heavenly citizens. We got a whole new reason to live and a great reason, the true reason. I pray for my friends as we stand here and anybody anywhere else, Lord, that's part of this service. Maybe somebody is weary. Would you renew their inner man? You can do that. You do that. May you just touch them and help them through the week. Refocus, reorder, and experience the renewing. Help them to worship you again and sing to you. God, anybody that's just beat up because the enemy, they did some things they wish they hadn't. But the blood of Jesus runs deep and wide. They are forgiven. And you say east from the west, that's how far it's separated. It's as if they never did it. So help them to walk in that truth, your truth. And thank you, God, for your cleansing and your healing. Some in this room, Lord, this world, you know, there's a lot of brutal things. And they have deep hurts and there's things that have held them captive. It's hard for them to run because they're pulling all these things. You set the captives free, Lord. Help them to make the decision. It's one of faith. Faith pleases you. Where you say, I'm going forward. This stuff doesn't define me. It's not going to keep me anymore. Help them to do it. Oh, Lord, we go back into a world that's so distracting. And help us to hear today. Help us to hear your voice and not forget. And to do the things that we know we need to do. And eye on the prize. It is, you're so good. You're so loving. You're so beautiful. We thank you, Lord. Thank you for fresh starts. I do pray before we go, if there's anybody in this room that is without you. I pray like Paul, you would reveal yourself to them. And as you've revealed yourself to us, I pray they would come to know you today. I pray they would call on you. You say those that call on you will be saved. I pray today they would confess they're a sinner and needs a Savior, and you're the Savior, and invite you into their lives and walk with you, Lord. Walk with you from this day forward. I ask that for them, Lord. I'm going to say a prayer, you know, and if you're here today, you can use this prayer with me if you choose to. You may not know what to say, so I can lead you in a simple prayer, but are you born again? Those are the words of Jesus. He says, unless you're born again, you can't go to heaven. You got to be born again to go to heaven. You have to be born of the Spirit. These physical bodies don't inherit heaven spiritual. We need Christ in us today. The scripture is clear. Jesus said those words. You must be born again. That means to be born of the Spirit. That means we weren't born of the Spirit when we were born. That means a point in my life where I have to realize, wait a minute, I'm a sinner. God is holy. And there's this throne of grace. I can come to God through the blood of Jesus Christ. He died for my sin, paid the penalty. And I go, oh, God Almighty, would you forgive me of my sins? Jesus, be the Lord of my life. Here's my life. And he will hear you today and receive you today. and you can walk with him and become his child. You must be born again. Maybe that's you today because of where you've gone and you're at that place. I'm going to share a simple prayer because maybe you don't know what to say to him. You cannot earn heaven. You'll never earn it. It is a gift, but you open your heart in the truest way to him. Here's a prayer. I'll lead you in a simple prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I confess that I am a sinner and I need a Savior. Father, I do believe that you sent your Son Jesus to this world and he became a man. And one day he died on a cross. He paid the penalty for my sin. Then he raised to life so I could have life. So, Heavenly Father, I do believe. I ask today you'd forgive me of all of my sins. I receive you, Jesus, as my Lord, as my Savior. Please fill me with your Holy Spirit. Thank you for answering my prayer. Thank you for saving me. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.